There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. So, Marcus.
Yes, Henry.
Welcome to Side Stories.
Thank you.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. It's been a while.
Isn't it nice to finally be here for some of the funniest and best stories in America?
I came on the best week. The best possible week ever on Side Stories.
You know what? I'm glad that you're here because this story that we're about to talk about and all the stuff that we have to talk about, it's extremely difficult to parse through.
Yeah, real difficult to parse through, real difficult to separate your own personal feelings from, you know, everything else that's going on. It's a difficult one.
I had to have a separate call with our lawyers so that I could ask what I could talk about today. That's some of my favorite stuff.
Everyone loves talking to lawyers.
Welcome to Side Stories. Henry Zebrowski, frequent flyer with our on-site lawyer. I'm sitting here with the Sydney Sweeney of LPN.
Is it? How would I get that?
I'd say that you're the Sydney Sweeney of LPN.
Okay, how? How so? How am I the Sydney Sweeney of LPN?
Natural talents.
Go.
I would say you elegant penis. Excellent taste in men.
Thank you.
You are an amazing performer.
Thank you. I appreciate that quite a bit.
And your best bits jiggle up and down. I'm here with Marcus Parks.
Sitting in for Edward this week, doing family stuff out in Ohio.
He is making love to his family, which is one of the nicest things you can do when you're never in town, you know, and then he can really be spread amongst his in-laws.
He can be.
He went and told me all of the fun things he got to do with the family, 9 a.m., lacrosse, 9:45, basketball, 11, baseball, 5 p.m., choir practice.
And all of that is watching a different adolescent or prepubescent child be very bad at those things.
And then watching adults, which Eddie also said was really funny, get really angry about toddlers playing sports. And I was like, I'm so glad that Carmi won't go.
Yeah, no, Carmi won't go. Absolutely.
No, Carmi's, we're really focusing on coding. That's good. Where we got her in early.
You got to send her to space camp.
You know, I honestly think that after the last couple of weeks covering the blowback about the Artemis and like talking about NASA's just a pipeline to the military industrial complex, we're keeping her out of space camp.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because I just feel that, again, I got big shout out to the Artemis crew.
Did they get a hold of you?
Yes, they sent me a sticker.
The Artemis crew
people
sent you
from
a sticker.
Artemis.
Yep.
Really?
Sent
me a sticker because I was talking loosely about the, you know, whatever you want to talk about with NASA, never a straight answer. They're a bunch of fucking liars. All they do is edit their photos. And these guys.
See, it's talk like that that got you kicked out of NASA.
Well, what's the point of stopping now? They won't allow me back in. Well, talking about the importance of the Artemis II program,
sure.
About the idea of that we're trying to inspire people with space travel, and definitely not going to talk about which unregulated construction company is going to be given the presidential contract to do the moon base, and I'm imagining it's going to be Eric Trump. And then by the time we get up to that moon base, it's going to be filled with so many dead hookers, it's not going to fucking matter. That's to help.
Yeah,
Welcome to Side Stories, Marcus.
Well, thank you very much. We love you, Artemis.
We do. Honestly, really hope that you're safe out there.
Yeah, be safe.
Seriously, it's a big deal because they're killing NASA scientists left and right. So you guys better keep your head on a swivel. But don't worry, Cash Patel's on it.
Yeah, he's on it when he's not drunk.
He's going to nail that down, too. You notice they just did, because there has been, last week, we've been covering a little bit. Have you looked into it all about these missing scientists?
Yeah, I've looked into it a little bit. And I can see why it is something to grab onto. Like, it does feel like it feels like the first act of an alien invasion movie.
I feel like we're in a Michael Crichton novel.
Yeah, it feels like this is the thread to pull and a much larger conspiracy falls out. But it is also a massively large community that is dying.
Yes.
You know, and these people are dying. You know, and it's, I think.
And
the
they
thing
are
is,
tangentially like, connected to big time secrets in the military.
Sure. But that's the thing about the internet that we, I think sometimes it's so much information. We have access to so much information at all times that you can really connect anything to anything.
You're trying to say that the internet's unreliable. Are you trying to say that my research, my personal amazing research, is unreliable?
No, I'm not saying it's unreliable.
David Wilcock was murdered by the state. David Wilcock was murdered by the fucking state. UFO truther.
Despite his family coming out recently and saying he was a very sick man for a very long time.
He also, he was extremely broke. they've been putting out the video in 2022. Those of you that don't know, one of the people that have kind of been brought into this missing scientist story is the story of David Wilcock, who was a frequent contributor to Ancient Aliens, mm-hmm. and he kind of worked a lot on secret space program work. Like, he's been deep into kind of the conspiracy world. He held a national pray-in 2020 when Trump lost the election because he thought that if him and his UFO community could pray hard enough, they could flip the election.
So you're seeing he's a very stable individual.
He is as stable as, you know, those things you step on to work on your ankles in the gym with the ball on the bottom of it?
A wobbly board?
Yes, wobbly board. Yes, he's as stable as a wobbly board. And he, and then someone put out the statement that he had said, I'll never commit suicide, but they did not neglected to say that there was a video from 2022.
Sure.
So it's been a while. I think David Wilcock is an unfortunate just. He was a sad, broke man that came to the very end of his life and saw that he had dedicated his life to protecting the interests of a president that is an active pedophile.
Yeah, it seems like that is really sticking in the craw of a lot of people.
And I think that brings us to the story of the day.
I think it does.
Because, so one of the, I found it interesting is, so first of all, how fake was the assassination attempt from 2 days ago? Marcus, take it, please.
Not fake at all.
Oh, okay.
Not fake at all. I'd say not fake at all. This does sort of tie in a little bit to the story involving all of the dead scientists. I think one of the things we have to keep in mind when it comes to what gigantic news stories, correlation does not equal causation.
True.
And coordination does not equal conspiracy.
Exactly. And also, how many times have we said never mistake malevolence or whatever.
Never mistake incompetence for malice.
Yes. So yeah. Know that we are also witnessing, quite simply, one of the most basic level incompetent administrations we've ever seen.
Yeah, and there's no reason to think that incompetence is not going to make its way to the Secret Service.
Oh, it is.
These are, you know, it's not like the Secret Service are, you know, these are people who choose to be a part of this.
It's a political, you have to literally work for years to get to the presidential detail.
You have family in the Secret Service.
Yes.
Yeah, you did at one point. Yeah, it's these are the people who are choosing to stick with Trump, the people who are choosing to protect him. They're not going to be the brightest fucking bulbs in the box.
They're just not gonna.
That's one of the things that this administration has proved again and again and again, is that they attract the dumbest fucking people. They attract the most incompetent people. They attract the people who focus on all of the wrong things to the point where the fucking assassin edited his manifesto to comment on how incompetent the Secret Service is.
It's pretty fascinating. So for those of you that are living in a tunnel underground, several days ago, a person by the name of Cole Allen was arraigned on charges connected to shooting outside of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. For those of you that don't know, so every year, this is the first one Trump ever decided to go to.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first one as president.
As president.
Yeah, there's the famous one. There's a theory that the White House Correspondents' Dinner when both Barack Obama and Seth Meyers made fun of him is the whole reason why he ran for president in the first place.
Oh, you saw his bitter little face in that whole fucking thing. I'll always remember his shitty little fucking little petulant baby filled with shit diaper face.
Yeah, because they told him he was never going to be president. That's what made him run for president.
Yes. And so outside, so he finally decided to do the dinner this year. They had every single moron in attendance, Kash Patel with mismatched socks on, Peter Hegseth, who was chewing his lips like he just got off of the stage at Stagecoach. He is just like all gacked up. He's like walking around. I've never seen more people on drugs in one room that weren't having a good time than the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And then did you cut to after all the shots rang out, all of the attendees ransacking the tables?
Yeah.
And taking all the bottles of booze and taking pictures with themselves?
Yeah, because they're a bunch of fucking grifters and assholes.
It's so funny. funny. I think it's so funny. I just love it. Also, when they scooted J.D. Vance out so quick, and then, you know, Dump is just sitting there, right? And he's just, blah, blah, blah. And then they lift him up all out of the chair after J.D. Vance sprints off the stage.
Yeah.
And then he tumbles down because he's a big, fat, dumb piece of shit.
Yeah, and he lied about it. And that's one of the things that makes, that's what makes conspiracy grow, is that he fell down because he's a big, fat old man. And he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He doesn't know how to walk correctly.
But then did you see the picture that came from the back of the crowd in which he had been moved backstage? And then all of a sudden, you know, the crowd, and there's a shot. You just see Trump standing in the back of the side of the stage, in the wings, just watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a fucking, again, like it's a television show.
Well, he's also a very old man. And he's nearing dementia.
Yeah, and he has a stroke. He's a stroke victim. And he's also, yeah, and he's a malignant pedophile. He's just like literally like every single bad thing that's ever existed. And yeah. He's just going, he like wandered back to watch the aftermath.
So he's confused. He has no idea what the fuck's got. Like he's wandering around like an old man who is confused because he is an old man who is confused. He knows once you put him on his track, he knows what to say and he knows how to do it. But if
I guess.
But if you let him go, he's just gonna wander around like you're fucking like the time you left grandpa at Walmart.
I mean, it reminds me, literally he reminded me of my father. This is a really sad story, but right before Jackie's wedding, when he was like, he had wandered out by the trees and he thought he had saw this giant dog, and he was like talking about it out in the trees, and he's like, someone's got to get that dog. And we're like, you know, we're doing like, don't worry about the dog, like we had to do that and take him inside. That's what our president is currently doing.
Yeah.
And I just also want to remind people, I am sick of talking about the president of the United States of America.
Yes.
I want to remind you that I can't stand doing this. This is against every single fiber of my being, okay? Still, to this day, the only reason why we are talking about this is because it comes down to the motive of the shooter, which I still think is the funniest thing on the face of the planet, that all of these reporters are now we play this game. We've got three shooters, right? We got three different fake ones. So he's never been shot once. So we got three fake shoots all happening in the last, like, since he's been president. So this one I found interesting is that every time the reporters are like, what could be the motive? And they all just do this fake thing where, like, reporters are asking everywhere,
yeah,
what could possibly be the motive?
Yeah.
Right? So let's first look at politically. So one side is like, who's doing well right now in the country? Like domestically, let's take Iran off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Israel off the table. Let's take all that off. Let's take all the international, just the stuff that's going on, right? Take that off the table. Just the gallon of gas around the corner from here, $7.
Yep.
Groceries are the most expensive they've ever been. People literally can't afford to eat. People are dying. Healthcare is like a runaway train. Like, it is just fucking barreling down towards the wall. Everybody's dying. More millennials are dying of cancer than any other generation ever before.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of that cancer is due to microplastics, due to environmental issues.
They're pulling down every single environmental regulation that they possibly can.
Oh, God, yes. They're trying to get Roundup. They're trying to remove all guardrails on pesticides. They're trying to actively kill us, all of us, as fast as possible.
And they're mining. Like, aren't they doing this thing in, like, Yellowstone? Like, they're starting to go into the national parks now, and they're starting to mine for oil, and they're starting to look for minerals in our national parks.
Yeah, drill for oil.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to blow shit up. Well, got to blow up. You got to blow up all the trees and shit first in order to make the divot that you use to mine.
Oh, no. And with mining, what we're doing there is we're mining lithium, specifically in Utah, because we got to make them batteries. Because
we need batteries for all the phones and all the data centers for the AI that's not going to become anything.
Yeah,
right? We're locked into a fake economy.
Yeah. The AI that is also draining away all of our drinking water.
So these are just issues. That's just one side of the issue. So who represents all that? The president of the United States of America.
Yes.
So that's just one example of, like, why people might be upset. But I do feel that the main reason is the fact that he's a convicted rapist and a pedophile.
Yeah.
And I think that that makes you a target for people's anger.
I think so.
I think people are really frustrated with seeing you on television.
Yeah. I think there are people that see him. Like, I know myself. I had a hell of a day today.
We all are. We're having this fun time dealing with this.
A hell of a day, because you know, all of this for us, and I think for a lot of people in our generation, you know, millennials, a lot of us are, we're hitting our 40s now. Yep. We're you know, I'm 43. You know, a lot of us are hitting middle age right now.
It is an unfun age, y'all.
It sucks.
It's way adult.
It sucks. And, you know, and I kind of hit a little bit of that when on our cryptid episode a couple of weeks ago when I asked, you know, you hit this age and you ask, is this it? And that is just something that everybody throughout the whole of human history has gone through when they hit their mid-40s. But what I think a lot of millennials are hitting right now, and what I know I'm hitting right now, is that I did not realize until specifically the second Trump administration, how much of my identity I had wrapped up in being an American.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how much I, because I, you know, I don't have religion. I don't really have faith. I don't really have anything like that. So
being, well, we were also programmed to have pride in being an American.
100%. Like, it was always a part of our programming. Like, the propaganda worked like a motherfucker on me. You know, like, independent.
We said the Pledge of Allegiance every day.
Yeah, I mean, not even that. Like, you just look, like, Independence Day is probably the most successful piece of American propaganda that has ever existed.
And
that's
awesome. And welcome to Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And that came out right when we were, what, 13, 12, somewhere around there? You know, like that sort of pop culture that we grew up with, like we all put so much subconsciously into being American. And, you know, and that was something that you could kind of always come back to. It was like, well, at the very least, I'm American.
America stands for something.
America stands for something. I got that. And that comfort, That illusion is fucking ripped away.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's been ripped away for us because we had this like quadruple whammy of like things that we chose to cover. You know, it was Heinrich Himmler, everything that happened with Epstein, the DuPont series, and just recently, Jimmy Savile.
Which is like, how much we realized was up to us inherently, and we had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that was a part of what we did not really understand for a long time. I think even as a person, how we've been ensconced in this.
Yeah.
We're like fish in water when it comes to American propaganda.
100%.
We had no idea that we're like, all of a sudden you're like looking around like, oh fuck, I'm in water.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh shit, I'm surrounded by it. And while I still do believe in my heart of hearts, the malleable government that we're supposed to have is what will get us through this. I think it is what will get us through this, but I think that we're going to see a lot more of this because never once have we really been, because think about this, right after the shooting goes down, Trump immediately hits a podium and he starts talking about the stupid fucking ballroom.
Yeah.
Right? So, not serious.
Well, and that's what I mean by, you know, it's coordination does not necessarily mean, you know, conspiracy. He just saw an opportunity. He took it because he's an opportunistic shithead.
And this is where
and
people
he thought
understand.
About, his first thought was about himself and how to get he's got a deal that's not going through. And he saw an opportunity immediately how to make that deal go through.
He's not serious about his own life. The fact that I will always state the reason why he came around and he fist pumped after the first time he got shot at was because he didn't get hit. And that if he had gotten hit, he would have been in an ambulance so fast your head would fucking spin.
Yeah.
He did not even know he was really bleeding. He stood up thinking, they didn't get me. That's why they did that. He was never hit. Same thing with this. Because he wasn't hit, or because they knew he was in the room. This is kind of one of those things. So he came out, he did the ballroom speech. Then they took Big Fat Chungus and they put him in the 60 Minutes room for some fucking reason. Mm-hmm. I guess it's because of the White House Correspondents' Dinner and they were all there. Mm-hmm. And the lady from 60 Minutes, who I don't even fucking care about, to be frank, it could be a robot as far as I'm concerned, she read at his face chunks of the shooter's manifesto. Now, normally, we don't read manifestos of shooters. Like, I do for my own personal pleasure. But normally we don't read them out loud or we talk about them because largely in the United States of America recently, the guys that write manifestos are shooting people based on racism, shooting based on literal mental illness, or shooting people based upon like some form. Like, when you're killing kids, I don't really care what you have to say.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't really give a fucking shit. But when you are writing a fairly interesting manifesto about the current U.S. government.
Some might even say a reasonable manifesto.
It's kind of interesting because this manifesto, at first, it does include all of these apologies to his friends and his family and apologies to himself. He's apologizing to the hotel staff, apologizing to anybody in the government that gets hurt. He doesn't mean to, because one guy got shot in the process. An officer got shot, but he got shot in the bulletproof vest. So he's expecting to be recovered and be fine. So nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
I think it's part of the reason why we'll even talk about this. So the lady from 60 Minutes read this out loud to Trump. I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. Trump chose to respond, I'm not a rapist, I'm not a pedophile. Guess what he didn't say? President Trump. That's how they get you in court, you fucking shithead. That is literally what they do in court to get you to do it. Because he was like, yeah. She's like, because
it's the when did you stop beating your wife?
Yes. You could. And then I go on to, I always like jumping onto conservative Reddit just to kind of see the way they sort of try to spin it. And I found it interesting. They're all like, I can't believe they're throwing this crazy madman's manifesto in his face. And it's like, oh, the reason why they're throwing it in his face is because he's the president of the United States of America, and he's a convicted rapist and a pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a convicted rapist. Absolutely.
He's a convicted rapist.
Yes, at the very least. And I've read many manifestos.
So many. We've read so many.
So many manifestos. We've read them on shows. We've read them for fun. This is by far the most coherent, well put together manifesto I have ever read.
And he edited it. So I find it interesting. So he checked into the hotel the night before. And he said, first of all, he has no idea how the hell he did it. He very obviously was going in with weapons. Mm-hmm. He had a shotgun the size of a fucking surfboard.
Yeah.
Right. So they came in. So he wrote in his manifesto, objection one, as a Christian, you should turn the other cheek. Rebuttal. Turning the other cheek is for when you yourself are oppressed. I'm not the person raped in a detention camp.
Which is happening.
I'm not the fisherman executed without trial.
Which is happening.
I'm not a school kid blown up or a child starved or a teenage girl abused by many criminals in this administration.
All three of those things have happened.
Turning the other cheek is when someone else is oppressed. It's not true Christian behavior. It is complicity in the oppressor's crimes. Done. Then objection two. This is not a convenient time for you to do this. Rebuttal. I need whoever thinks this way to take a couple of minutes and realize that the world isn't about them. Do you think that when I see someone raped or murdered or abused, I should walk on by because it would be inconvenient for people who aren't the victim? Kind of making some sense. Objection number three, you didn't get them all. Rebuttal, gotta start somewhere. Objection four, as a half black, half white person, you shouldn't be the one doing this. Rebuttal, I don't see anybody else picking up the slack. Objection five, yield unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Rebuttal, the United States of America are ruled by the law, not by any one or several people. In as so far as representatives and judges do not follow the law, no one is required to yield them anything so unlawfully ordered. It is getting to a point where this guy's making fucking sense.
Live from your grave.
There's a concept I've been thinking about a lot recently. Yeah, and it's sort of the thing that people were going through back in the 70s. And it's part of why, like, especially like the UK punk scene really started. The Stranglers put it perfectly in one song, No More Heroes. And that's how people felt back then, is that there are no fucking heroes. And I feel that exact same way now. And I, strangely enough, like I sort of realized
What are you talking about? Chuck Schumer. He's in there, Marcus. He's writing strongly worded tweets at the government that he's employed by.
Very strongly worded. What is the squad up to these days? Are they changing? They're changing the face of government, right?
Right there. They're really mixing it up.
Yeah, they're really mixing it up hard. We have no fucking heroes. Yeah, and I realized that, strangely enough, when I was watching fucking Conan Without Borders the other day, like I was watching, because I was in a shit place, real, like just feeling bad about everything. Carolina's like, hey, why don't we watch something nice? Like, let's watch Conan go fuck around and be nice and, you know, and just hang out with people. And I watched it and I realized, like, we don't have anybody to fucking look up to anymore. Like, I used to look up to Conan. I used to look up to Jon Stewart. These are the people that I would look up to. And
well, now I never want to put those burden. I will never put that burden on a comedian ever again.
Of course not.
That's what I've learned.
Well, the thing.
I just don't. I take them like Conan is doing great.
He's doing great.
He's the best. Right. He is the pinnacle of an adult man aging into himself, powerfully, beautifully new man. He's becoming wider and better as he gets older.
I love it. He owes me nothing.
Nothing.
He owes us nothing. John Stewart owes us nothing. Like
nothing.
These men, and part of the thing about growing up is, you know, you realize, like, you know, you can't look up to comedians anymore.
No.
But the thing is, this country, we have fucking nobody to look up to. All of our heroes are either dead or just choosing to do something else.
Well, because they don't. Barack Obama, what are you talking about? He has to make those UFO movies for Netflix. He's got to go make a comedy show. He's making a reality television show about how wacky it is to be an ex-president.
Wow.
Do you know that?
That's incredible.
Isn't
wow.
that a great that, use of his time?
That sounds like such a wacky thing to do, and that sounds incredible. This is what happens.
Yes.
But guys like trying to, you have guys that are, I mean, he's obviously.
He's insane. And he's
insane.
Mentally unwell.
He's unstable. Like he has been broken by what the fuck is going on in this country. He's been broken by the sheer amount of information that we've been given
at all times. He has been activated by just the piles of fucketry that has been piled onto him by both the United States and the media.
Yeah. And this is what happens. Like when you just, because that's what they're doing, is that they're still, even though Steve Bannon's not on the team anymore, they're still using flooding the zone with shit.
Yeah, they have that other fat guy in there now doing the same exact thing. Same evil look. What's his name? Their head of communications, that evil looking guy. He's got the little face. He's huge. He's like 350 pounds. What's his name? That Asian guy.
Yeah, I can't keep up with all of them, but they're still using his playbook. They're flooding the zone with shit. And they're flooding the zone with shit, not just with information, because the Epstein drop. The big Epstein drop, that was done on purpose.
That
the amount of information that we got and the amount of horrific information that we got.
And the fact that now it's done too. Now that the spigot has been cut. Stephen Chung is the name of the guy I was talking about.
Stephen Chung. Well, I mean, they gave us that amount of, like, they overloaded us on purpose in order to make us feel hopeless, in order to give us something to do. You know, the Iran war again,
the Iran war was the single most pointless action. We just spent billions of dollars.
Billions.
Like we basically just took our money, our hard-earned money, we flew it over to Iran, dumped it into the strait, and set it on fire.
Yeah.
That is what we just did.
Yeah, of course. But it's also about overwhelming us. This is what happens when you start overwhelming an extraordinarily armed population, because that's the thing, is you cannot add all of that shit. You cannot scramble the brains of a country that believes and knows that it is their right to own and use firearms. It's gonna fucking explode. It's gonna get bad. And this is not even the first thing.
They're all, like, you notice, right? It's not like it's BlackRock trained assassins.
It's
children and the mentally ill.
And it's been happening for well over a decade. It's just going down the line. The first people it affected, like the amount of information that we have and the amount of overload that we have, it started affecting the extremely mentally ill at first. And that, of course, resulted in all those, you know, in a lot of mass shootings.
Wait until the truly sick. I actually feel like the next ones we're going to start to see are the terminally ill that have nowhere to go and they have no off ramps and they have been pushed into their total extent. I think we're going to see a fuck ton of that.
Yeah. I mean, this country, I don't think, is very far off from suicide bombings.
It's
really not.
And because guess who's asking for them? Up top.
Yeah.
They're literally asking for them because of the violent rhetoric. And if you look at two, this is where it gets kind of like we talk about the incompetence. It gets really interesting.
But one thing before we get to that, where we're at now is that we are now starting to get to the point where it is people that can write coherently. People that have
Kamala Harris has a lizard in her pussy, right? Like, it's not one of those. It's not talking about Princess Diana's clones.
No.
It's not talking about fucking, like, Chinese drones.
It is a teacher with a degree from Caltech.
Yeah.
You know, who is sick. And he definitely needed help to take care of this. But this is where it's coming down to. This is who it's starting to affect, because this blast of information is not good for us.
It is driving us insane. And but also, I find this is where the incompetence, right? So this thing is very, very interesting. So he addendumized his own manifesto that night. So he called himself Cold Force Friendly Federal Assassin, right? Ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So he said, okay, Now that all the sappy stuff is done.
And this is a PS.
This is a PS. Now that all the sappy stuff is done, what the hell is the Secret Service doing? Sorry, gonna rant a bit here, Dennis Miller style, which is hilarious.
Drop the formal. I'm just gonna go on a little bit of a rant here.
What do you think about that, Bob? Yeah. Like, I expected. No, I expected.
Listen up here, Bob.
Let me hear, Bob. Let's get into this. They're hanging out looser than old and Comingolo Granga from the Chang Dynasty. I don't fucking know. One of his arcane references.
It's like this guy was voting for Wendell Willkie.
Yeah. I miss when he was funny. I expected security cameras at every bend, bugged hotel rooms, armed agents every 10 feet, metal detectors at the wazoo. What I got, who knows, maybe they were pranking me, is nothing. No damn security, not in transport, not in the hotel, not in the event. You notice that all, like, it was said, he said, I noticed a sense of arrogance, as if they had the whole thing handled. And they said that all of the security was about handling the protesters outside.
Yeah.
And about the current arrivals, as if they didn't think that anybody that would want to kill somebody in that room would book a night in the hotel the night before.
It's insane.
He said, if I was an Iranian agent instead of an American citizen, I could have bought a damn Medusa in there and no one would have noticed shit.
Actually insane, yes. Is what he said.
Yes. So that's one of those things where, and he says here, if anybody's curious about how I'm doing something, how doing something like this feels, it's awful. I want to throw up. I want to cry for all the things I wanted to do and never will. For all the people whose trust this betrays, I experience rage thinking about everything this administration has done. So it's not...
Don't forget, can't really recommend it. Stay in school, kids.
So I'm not pro this man's actions. Violence is always going to be bad. It's always going to be bad, and it's going to lead to bad things.
Violence always begets more violence. Remember in the Heinrich Himmler series,
it always does.
Every single time they tried to use violence to take down the Nazis, it only made things worse every single time.
But the idea that the motive to do this is so mysterious that it would take psychiatrists and police officers and the FBI to figure it out, I think... it's different now. And I think that it's time for the United States of America to really snap awake. And unfortunately, because it sucks, man. It sucks. This is kind of why we were talking about it up top, is that it's getting really bad now. And this is the type of stuff that is just going to keep escalating.
What no one wants to say is that the motive is that a reasonable man thought that this was the right thing to do. Yeah. And that's it. There's no other motive than that. He believed this was a man who saw that the president is a convicted rapist, almost certainly a pedophile, at the very least, very connected with many, 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 many pedophiles.
Protected them and was a part of their industries, has a credible allegation against that 13-year-old talking about how he punched her in the head after she bit his penis.
Yeah, and not only that, but, you know, a man who makes decisions that, you know, kills schoolhouses full of little girls. You know,
he's the ultimate true crime figure, and we're a true crime podcast, and we are locked into this, folks, until it's fucking over, unfortunately.
Yeah, he is a villain. Like, yes. He is truly, truly, truly a villain. And it is, we have a reasonable man here who did not see any other way out. He saw no other way out for himself. He could not, because that's what, reading between the lines, what this man is saying is that if he continued to do nothing, he could not live with himself.
He would have committed suicide. He would have killed himself.
Yes, he could not live in this country knowing that he had done nothing. And so he had to do something. Unfortunately, he made the wrong decision. The something that he decided to do was wrong. He decided to try to kill the president. And who knows who he could have killed in the process.
Oh, no, he was going to get nowhere near the president the way that he was doing it.
Not even
close. He was only going to kill hotel staff and police officers, which is why it was bad what he did.
That's it. He was going to kill somebody who was just trying to go to work that day to put money on the, or to put food on the table for their family. He was not going to kill the president. He was only going to kill someone innocent.
Yes, and I think that when it comes down to it, it's really sad how it all went down. And I think that it's miserable. I think it's miserable for the people involved, the security people. I think it's miserable for the hotel people that have to deal with this fucking shit. But I also think it's fascinating how unserious it is to the people up top that are the targets of this violence. Trump, that shot of Melania scared. Like, she's going, and then over her shoulder, you see him smiling like he planned it. Like he's looking down the pipe saying, ain't I a stinker? Like he's literally doing the, can you believe this? Like he's looking right down the pipe of that fucking photographer. And yeah, it's driving people crazy. Of course, 60% of the country is going to believe it's fake because he wasn't even scared. He didn't even have a reaction.
Yeah. And
he went right up to promote the ballroom. He doesn't even care if he gets shot, guys. He doesn't care. And I think that's the thing here. We're fighting against a bunch of people that are total sociopaths, and then we suffer all the fucking consequences for it. Look at Jimmy Kimmel. He made that shitty joke about Melania, and now they're trying to take him off all this kind of and you're just like, these people are not fucking serious.
They're not serious. They're absolutely not serious in any way whatsoever. They have no forward think. Like all they think about in that, he thought in that moment, this is the best time for me to get my construction project through. Because as far as he's concerned, the whole ballroom could, you know, just demolishing the fucking White House to build a ballroom because he's too lazy to leave his fucking house.
Yes.
That's what it is. The reason why he wants the ballroom, everyone wants to put all of these, you know, insane conspiracies are like,
well, they do have a bunker. Yeah, that is real. They are blowing out the whole bunker underneath it. It's like a full expansion of the security bunker.
I know that's real. But that's not why he wants it. Mm-mm. The reason why he wants it is because he's a lazy old man who doesn't want to leave his house for social functions.
He also specifically wants to build a building bigger than the White House.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. He wants to attach an eyesore directly to the side of the White House that is 2 times the size of the White House that will be called the Trump Ballroom so that everybody can look at a building that's bigger than the White House that he made.
Yeah, and he's also, remember, he's a construction guy. He's a construction shithead from New York City.
He's a contractor con man. Okay, let's not call him a construction guy. I don't think he could tell the difference between like rebar and I don't think he's into that detail.
Hey man, I bet he knows quite a bit about construction because you have to know a lot about construction if you want to game the system.
I guess.
Because you know how much money he's going to make on kickbacks on all that shit?
He's already made billions of dollars in Bitcoin. He already gave it to those two fuckers that hopefully, we'll cover the story next week when Ed is back, but hopefully his sons will die on a safari. That's my goal. My hope is that they'll die on safari. I think that'll be really fun for them to get trampled by a bunch of like lions that are like and eaten by animals that they tie really down fun. And shoot in the back of the head.
It would be even better if it would be more like the Lost World, you know, like when they get eaten by a bunch of gallimimuses, get them. Like if you got eaten by a bunch of like okapis or something.
That would be
just
cute.
Just like nibbled them to death. That
That's
would be
really fun.
That would be wonderful if that happened to the president's son.
So,
but at the end of the day, like, it's all about opportunity. What he cares about is building his stupid fucking concern. It's all tied up in red tape and
it's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening. And so he saw an opportunity to get that red tape removed. Like, oh, you see, this is why I need my ballroom. And that's it. It's not about it being planned because it wasn't planned. Because if it was for it to be planned, we would need a level of MK Ultra mind programming and brainwashing that, as we covered in our MK Ultra series, it doesn't exist.
It never exists.
It doesn't work. There is so much evidence that this guy has spent years getting to this point.
He's a mentally ill man that was driven to the edge.
He spent years getting to a breaking point. It really is. And I honestly can't really tell you right now, based on what I've read, I can't tell you if he's mentally ill. I really can't.
Yeah, he could just be fucked.
He could just be fucked because there's really, because nobody has said that he's mentally ill. And I'm
It sounds like he had a financial fallout too.
Sure.
A lot of that kind of happens with that, right? Like once you have that, because he was a substitute teacher.
But I think we spend so much time, anytime someone tries to make an assassination attempt or if someone does a mass shooting, we just immediately go to mentally ill, mentally ill. He was mentally ill. And that sidesteps a much larger problem, a much larger systemic problem that we have here in America. It's that the system that we have drives people insane.
And what if there were real reasons instead of just, oh, Barack Obama's a shape-shifting lizard.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's a clone. What if there were real reasons?
Yeah. What are there?
Like he's a criminal.
Yeah.
Like he's an actual criminal.
Yeah.
And that like he harbors criminals.
Yeah.
And that he's actively continuing to do crimes under the name of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And that he's supporting a genocide in Gaza. And he's supporting what's going on in like he's ripping up Iran. And he doesn't care what happens with NATO. And he's hanging us out to dry.
Yeah.
And I think that what comes down to is that's where we're at, that we've never been at before.
We've never been here before.
In this way.
Yeah. We've never been here before in this way. We've never been at this point in our country. All of this is new, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what we need to do, what needs to happen. I mean, I do know that
I know the answer.
I know you know the answer.
No, I know the answer.
The reasonable answer.
No, the reasonable answer is obviously a reboot of Family Matters. The only thing that matters are reboots. Okay? What we have to do is the only thing that will heal this is a new Batman.
You know what's really going to fix it? And it's actually happening. This new Gen Z Scooby-Doo. You heard about that? You heard about this? There's going to be a new Gen Z. It's going to be Scooby-Doo, but it's going to be for Gen Z.
Man, Gen Z is so unique.
They're so unique. So incredibly unique. Oh, my God.
We love you. You guys are just a bad generation.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo Origins.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo Origins.
You guys needed a more serious Scooby-Doo, and I'm really glad you guys got it. I don't know what it is about you guys rebooting silly things into semi-serious things about rape. Yeah. They're all like turned into like weird things where, like, I saw a clip of Sydney Sweeney dress up as a baby, and everyone's just like, ooh, provocative. And I was like, you guys are fucking make me, I'm getting old.
Yeah, we don't.
That's make me great. Just makes me feel gross.
Yeah,
we. She's like, who cares about, why is she dressed up like a pup? I don't care about this fucking shit.
Yeah, we don't need the grim retelling of Scooby-Doo.
We just don't.
Yeah, we just don't. We just.
The sexy psychological retelling?
Yeah.
It's not. They're children.
Oh, yeah. They are kids? I thought they were Riverdaling it.
No, they're children. They're
good. That's great. Actually.
Yeah.
Good, but
we don't, I mean, what I think just what this country really needs is we need leadership.
Yes.
And this is what happens when there is absolutely zero leadership.
And that's why I am first to sign up for the Buttigieg Army. And we're, me and my Buttigieg warriors, we're hitting the streets to provide reasonable changes in incremental legal fashion.
I think what we need more than anything is we need somebody who doesn't start every sentence with look. Because, you know, it's like it's Buttigieg, it's Barack Obama, it's Biden, it's always look. And then they go into some bullshit that doesn't make any, that doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. Nothing fucking matters anymore. At least that's what it feels like nothing fucking matters anymore. And we have to have somebody stand up and say, here's what this is what matters. And I'm going to show you how we're going to make shit matter again.
Oh, no. And the only person that's remotely doing it right now is Mamdani in New York. He literally is doing the thing.
And he can't be president.
He cannot be president. And honestly, I wouldn't put that upon him. Because he's still, at least what he's doing in New York is listening to human beings and providing human things to people. Like the idea of, I'll pay you to fix the potholes in New York.
Yeah.
What a genius idea. The big putting out chairs. He's like, we're going to fix the garbage. He's doing actual practical changes.
Scaffolding. He's taking care of the fucking scaffolding.
So this is what we want as a people. Like we want somebody that is hearing us. That is what we're looking for. And I also think partially, Marcus, is I also have to remember, in a way, it's almost like, then I got to be the hero for me.
Sure. No, we have
like,
to be.
I have to be the hero for me. I have to make sure I'm standing up to my own principles and fighting for the things that I believe in and not giving a fucking rat's ass about how anybody else feels about those things.
No one's coming to save us. And that's what we have to remember. No one is coming to save us. Like, there is no hero coming.
It's,
you know,
us.
The propaganda that they fed us, like, there's no, like, fucking Bill Pullman ain't coming.
No. Beto shit the bed. Beto shit the bed. Anthony Weiner fucked next to a baby. My buddy, my old favorite. He's gone. He's not going to do anything. Hong Kong, my favorite comedian. Mm-hmm. Politician's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Ventura lives in the playa.
Yeah, Al Franken. Yeah.
We have nobody. You know who I want? There's like an old black lady judge I watch sometimes that does YouTube videos. That's who I want. She does, like, I forgot what her name is. It's like, I forgot, there's a judge.
Does she talk about foolishness a lot?
Well, she's just exactly how you want. She's exactly, ooh, she mean. She's so mean, but she's funny.
Yeah, she's funny.
That's what I want.
I mean, the only thing that we can do at this point is we can take care of our own small communities. We can take care of the small little villages that we're a part of and the small communities that we're a part of. We can take care of those. We can do everything we can to not take it out on each other.
That's all we can do.
To not let the...
Help your local... One-on-one person.
Yeah, don't let the anger that you feel and the sadness you feel, don't spray it all over the people that you love. Don't fuck it. Don't make life worse for the people around you. As long as you can do that, we can wait it out.
And you talked about this on the when we did the VIP Q&A the other night about the idea there is something to the serenity prayer and understanding that there are things that you can control and things that you cannot.
And that's one of the things that I've realized. Like, there are many things that I cannot change, but I can choose whether I want to participate. And that is the biggest thing.
Marcus Aurelius, bro. Stoicism, bro. That's my stoicism, bro.
Yeah. We definitely have to look at what we can change and what we can't change. We have to accept what we can't, but we can always choose whether or not we want to participate in the bad shit about this world. And the biggest thing is that none of this is going to be made better by us moping around.
Nope.
None of this is going to be made better by us getting sad and giving up.
And
that's
posting
not going to do
on
anything.
Fucking social media either, guys. I'm
fucking
sorry.
Christ, it's
I,
not.
I don't believe... I've come around this idea of, like, I think we go at people that quote-unquote virtual signal too hard. I do think that there is something to it, but also... Help in person.
Yeah.
Be around for somebody. And you know how you can help too? Being there. You don't have to go to a, you don't even have to volunteer. You don't have to go to a soup kitchen. It's like looking out for people that need human reach out and giving it when you can.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that just that small layer allows us all to believe in each other a little bit.
Live from your grave.
Now, Marcus, before you go, before we do this, I want to go one fun story.
Okay.
Because we didn't do any funny stories, and I wanted to do one funny story. Right? Because I just thought that this was a really funny story. I thought the crime was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this comes out of Suffolk County. Woman convicted for throwing dynamite at sleeping boyfriend and blowing off his hands. Now, the only reason why I told this is because it's such a Looney Tune scenario.
It's a stick of dynamite.
So, all right. So they got into it. They got into a fight. Didn't know what to do, right? And then what I love is that Suffolk County District Attorney came out. This is the speech he gave. Now, domestic violence, it can escalate to deadly levels. And this case is a sobering reminder of that reality. A dangerous individual has been held accountable and will face a lengthy prison sentence for this horrific act. Because, yeah, she's going to jail for 25 years. So, this case, March 22nd, 2024, she said that they got into a fight. And I guess she just decided, she got done watching Looney Tunes, got to watch Wile E. Coyote. Yeah. She had a full-on stick of dynamite like she was blowing up a canyon. Right? I have no idea how she had a stick of lit with a fuse. I didn't know they even made that anymore.
Yeah, like she's a prospector.
Does that even happen? How do you get dynamite with a fuse in it?
If you were construction, you can get dynamite.
Dude, it's just such a funny idea. So she lit the fuse.
Farmers can get dynamite real fucking easy.
I just didn't know. I thought you had to, like, rig it up, right? Don't you have to rig it up or in a way?
No, I mean, dynamite, like, the lighting a stick of dynamite and throwing it, like, that exists.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you can still do that.
I want to do that. And so the boyfriend said he was asleep and he felt a thing hit him and he heard like a and he was just like, oh, what's that? And he woke up and he saw some flame on it and he was like, oh, what's that? And then he's like, dynamite! He said he picked up the dynamite and he's trying to put out the fuse. Just like, and he can't put out the fuse. And so then he goes to throw the dynamite out of the room and it explodes and it blows off his hand. That is just such a...
Yeah, man, those... fuses are, those fuses will burn you. Like,
yeah,
you can't,
you have to pull it. You'd have to like wrink it out.
Yeah, you can't just like, you know, lick your hands and like you can't do that. No, it's, that is a lot of heat on that fuse. So he can't put it out and he tries to throw it out the window and it blows up. It blows his fucking hand off.
It blows his
hand. And we don't know any other details. We don't know if, you know, he's an asshole, if she's crazy. We don't know.
No, well, let's just say, to get to this point,
yeah,
if your girlfriend's gonna blow you up with dynamite, she's upset. And yeah. I'd also straight up ask, you know, you never want a victim blame here.
No.
He did something wrong. I don't know what it was that he did wrong. It takes quite a bit for him to, for her to pull a fucking hunting season, wabbit season, duck season on him.
I just say they should have broken up.
Oh,
long,
yeah.
Long before that point.
Like, you're
they,
right.
They should have broken before it gets to, like, you know, dynamite. You got to leave.
Well, I did try to hit him with a giant hammer, but I sneezed when a feather that had come down from the sky caught on my nose.
I did try to have a... I did put an anvil up in the air, and I was going to cut off the rope on his way to work, but I had the dynamite.
Man, the thing was, I cut it. Didn't go anywhere. So I went down and I'm trying to see, why is this anvil not falling? Next thing I know, hits me right on the nose. Boing. That's just like, you know, you just can't. You gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Relationships are all about listening.
They really are.
And it is nice, though, that he listened the one time enough to hear the fuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one time to hear the doesn't go out.
Knew. You sleep through everything. Not dynamite.
Incredible story.
I just find one of those where, you know, you look for the helpers. That's what they say. They always say, like, when things are tough, look for the helpers.
Look for the helpers.
And,
yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it, is that, like, both of us, we were sad today.
We were sad. And I feel better. And
I do.
I don't know. Speaking of helpers, real quick, the Scientology speedrunners.
Okay. Yes!
Like, I mean, like, we can't. We have to at least talk about this a little bit.
So, groups of children are breaking into Scientology centers and are running as far as they can into the buildings with their phones out
or wearing meta glasses.
Yes,
like, because it started with one kid who put on his meta glasses, and the kid who started it. I mean, he's a real piece of shit.
Of course, you, like, have to be. Like, oh no, this is like, good organized. This is a good thing for larrikins.
Yeah,
this is a good for shitty kids. This is a great way to channel that energy.
Yeah, it, actually, you do make a really good point there, because it used to be like shitty kids would like throw rocks at old ladies.
No, this is better.
And now it's like this shitty kid, like, because his videos before this, he's an 18-year-old kid. His videos before were like going down a skid row and like hassling, you know, homeless people,
yeah,
and just
bad,
being a general piece of shit. And the only reason why he did it is because, you know, Scientology equals views, bro.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, he's like, I don't think I'm going to do it again because, you know, I can't get a good, like, you know, ROI. Can't get a good ROI on Scientology.
He's
like,
these guys are so much smarter
than us.
He's
18. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's evil.
Yeah, he's evil, but...
Should we hire him? Do we need that understanding in here?
He is local. But because he did it, a bunch of other kids tried doing it, too. Did you see the one where they took the doorknob?
Yeah. Now they're doing... So apparently Scientology's doing this thing where they're taking the doorknobs off the tops. They're taking the ways to get in off the front of the buildings.
Yeah.
Because that last one, he went all the way down to the basement.
Yeah.
But watching those ineffectual, like, weak Scientologists go like, stop! Stop! No! And they're trying to form human chains.
Yeah.
And the kids are just running between their legs. And like, dude, it's just so much. I was like, this is what the youth should be doing.
Yeah, and it's just, because it's just pranking. It's fuck these people. It's harmless fucking pranks.
No one got hurt.
No.
They're not hurting people. They're not even destroying property.
They're just running.
Yeah,
they're committing a crime. It's trespassing. But,
yeah, but fuck
them. But it's fine.
It's a church. It's a fake church.
You know
fuck
how many
them.
Times I committed trespassing when I was a kid and I didn't do anything near this fun?
Also, again, things that help aren't always gonna be legal.
No.
All right? There, every once in a while, you have to do, quote-unquote, illegal things in order to get the stuff that we want. They hide behind those doors. We're not allowed to go in those doors. Fuck them. I want to see what's in there.
Yeah.
Where's your untaxed money doing?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. I want to see what your untaxed money pays for.
What is this helping?
I think what's nice about it, anytime you can put any one of these institutions on their back heels.
Yeah.
Is good. Anytime you can do a thing in which...
Show how weak they truly are.
Yeah, so they can't control the narrative. They can't get out in front of it. David Miscavige is still hiding from his human trafficking. Like, he's still out there. Like, they did serve him, but they're still having a hard time getting him into court.
Has anybody seen his wife?
Yeah, Shelley's gone. Shelley's still fucking... We haven't talked about any of that. I think that the Whites, anytime you can give these guys a distraction that fucks with whatever their fucking flow is, I think is good.
All right, I'll agree with that.
Anything that's getting them like even just like dumb fake things with the like with the administration. Yeah, keep Cash Patel real busy.
Yeah.
Keep him real fucking busy. Because guess again, Samantha Guthrie, we didn't even fuck that shit is over. Right? Like that's over. The fucking other stuff is over. Like they literally open and close. We even talked about the very top. They open and close the investigation into the scientists real fucking quick. They're like, we looked into it and we decided we didn't do anything. Yeah. You're like, great. Good. Yeah. Good work.
But I think with this, like I think what we do need is I think we do need people to think about it a little bit more.
Sure.
Because, like beyond because I think
this is the beginning.
This is the beginning, but I think it's just the heart. I guess the heart is in the right place, but the motivations are wrong.
Because yeah, sure.
I listened to this great fucking podcast a couple of weeks ago, where it talked about the end of culture. Like it basically how you know culture has been basically the same for about 20 years now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, like yeah. We have no real monoculture. Like, we like, don't have that anymore.
Well, it's just that, you know, like, the difference between, like, the 60s and the 70s are, you know, astronomical, as are the difference between the 70s and the 80s, those 10 years. But the difference between 2005 and 2025, culturally, not that much different. Movies aren't really that different. Music isn't that different.
And as a matter of fact, they've sort of kind of doubled in on themselves, yeah, where they're just more the same than they've ever been, and each one is doing the same thing and saying the same thing.
Fucking new Scooby-Doo. And you know, in the argument that it was a podcast called Decoder Ring. It's fucking great.
Yeah, we're dying. Nostalgia is choking us to death.
It's not nostalgia. He said the point, nostalgia is a part of it, but the real culprit is capitalism. The real culprit is money. Is
sure.
Is that
well, the idea that you can bank money on a creative expenditure, which you should never, you should not be able to guarantee you're going to get an interest back on a piece of art.
Never, ever, ever. Because throughout the latter half of the 20th century, like all of the great artists that, you know, or most of the great artists that, you know, put out the music that we still love, the movies that we still love, all this great, incredible art, they weren't putting out this art to make money. They were putting out this art to make art.
Yeah, and get laid, like normally the old days. Yeah. Like the idea that the job itself used to be so cool.
Yeah.
That there wasn't always about money. It wasn't always about your flow. It was more about your... I'm a rock star.
Yeah. How can I change the way people think? And that was the motivations. How can I change the way people think, you know, about everything? And now the motivation for most people is how can I use this to make money?
Well,
you know,
because
and so it's not passion because it needs to be, it has to be passion first.
Well, it's because what's happened across the board too. It's because now money is the difference between dying of cancer at 50 and not.
God, yes. No,
like, that's the difference now. That's why we are in this cycle.
It's an incredibly good point.
It's because everything has become life or death in the United States of America if you don't have money.
Yeah,
That is where we've been pushed against, which has never been there before. There's always kind of been yes, there is capitalism. Like, it used to be giant production companies would have your tent pole. This is what keeps the fucking company alive, movies. Here's our art movies that we get nominated for in order to push the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how it used to be, and now all that's fucking mashed together. It's all just mashed together into a thing because everybody's so afraid of losing money. They're all afraid of losing money because if you lose money, you lose your house, you become homeless, United States of America, you're essentially a dead person. You're like, you're a part of this, you're thrown to the fucking wolves.
Yeah.
So it is this thing that we're now, this idea, everyone's so afraid to ever dip below. Because also we're being fed a line by every single person that talks about exponential growth, all these things about like how we're supposed to constantly be diversifying and growing and building. And it's like, no. Have you ever seen a tree grow? Like literally, like see a tree grow.
Yeah.
How does a tree go from a sapling to a gigantic redwood? It takes 1,000 years. But slow incremental growth makes it something that then is a part of something forever.
Yeah. It's the continuing inshittification, you know, to use the term is that, you know, if everything has to be growing all the time, growing, changing, then eventually everything that you loved about a thing will go away because they have to keep growing it and changing it.
Well, it will become, in a word, slop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to become slop. Yeah. And I think people are so... And the other thing is that people are so fucking sick nowadays from all of the different environmental bullshits that we got going on. And that's only going to get worse.
Oh, yes.
As time goes on. All of the fucking... Like, the environmental chickens are going to come home to roost real fucking hard. And actually, they already have. As you said, you know, more millennials have more cancer than any other generation. It's incredible how much cancer is already starting to come upon us. How much cancer. How much asthma. You know, what these fucking data centers are doing to people, like what they're, you know, the heat, just the heat from the fucking data centers.
Cooking and, us.
Yeah.
And then that's why I talk to our beloved people that work for things like Artemis.
Yeah.
Who I love, and I miss it. And I actually really do miss being really hopeful about space travel and all of this.
Right? I do too.
I miss being hopeful about stuff like this. But this is my problem, is that I can't wait to get back to caring about something like this from when that stops. And we have the ability, and the only way we're going to be intergalactic as a species is when we are one. We have to get rid of all of the other petty, dumb thing. We have to get rid of classism. We have to get rid of everything. We have to get rid of scarcity economies in order to travel the stars. Yeah. That's the Star Trek. That is what the Star Trek future is about.
Yeah, unfortunately, in the Star Trek world, it does take World War III before that happens, and World War III does start in 2026.
That's what I'm working on. That's what I've been currently, that's my current project, so we're getting there. Good work, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Henry. Thank you very much for having me on. Good work with you as well. It's always nice to go on Side Stories every once in a while.
We have a good time, especially I'm glad you're for the super serious stuff.
Me too.
Because Ed would be talking about ham. No, honestly, it would be good. I'm glad to give him a little break so he can go be with his family. So, you had anything to plug?
We do have new shit coming out with No Dogs
Snow
in Space.
No Dogs is coming out.
Yeah, we got some good video content coming out real soon. And we are currently recording episodes for the new season. We're recording the next episode tomorrow. We're just getting bank a ton of episodes before we start releasing. But it's going to be some real cool shit, ladies and gentlemen. Real cool shit.
I can't wait. I've been hearing all about it. I can't wait. And then go to make sure you live every day knowing that even when it's bad news, you got to do a comedy show, and that you got to, and then you got to love the fact you got to make bad news into as much comedy as you can, and then you laugh at the comedy that you made about all the bad news.
Yeah, that's great advice for most people.
I mean, it's for me specifically. It's for you. It's for Rob. It's for the network.
Yeah.
People in the
you're just giving advice to people in the room.
Very much so. To myself. And go to the socials at LP on the left, and go check out our YouTube channels. Marcus got done shooting our first new episodes of our Bloodbath 77.
Oh yeah, let's just say a character comes back from the first season. We just filmed two episodes of that, and we're filming the rest over the next few days.
And go check out the first season before we put out the second season. And also check out HGX2 season 2 over on LPN TV on the YouTube. Thank you, everyone. Hail, sweet Satan.
On Hail, Gene.
If you could.
If you could. If you wanna. You don't have to.
Just tonight.